Do we need some help this morning? Do we need some hope? Do we need some riches? Do we need some power? Well, listen up. I've got good news for you. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you already have it. And this morning we'll hear Paul's prayer saying that we will receive it. Paul is heading towards the end of his earthly ministry as he penned Ephesians. It's written in approximately 62 AD and he dies within about 5 years. He wrote it under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard. And by this time, Paul, you open it. I never can open these caps. Thank you. By this time, Paul was a seasoned campaigner, already come through many dangers, toils and snares. A few weeks ago, I spoke about Paul's blessing God for the great salvation that he accomplished in Christ. Can you remember verse 3? Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with... You have to do better than that. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not some, not a few, every spiritual blessing. I think this passage today is more than just a general encouragement. I would like to suggest that Paul was addressing some issues here. But what are them issues? What are they? There's no particular sin or sins described as there are in other epistles. But in the last book of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ himself addresses the Ephesian church, stating and encouraging them, saying, I know your works, your toil, and patient endurance, and bearing up for my name. But he goes on to give a stark warning, and I quote, but I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. The NIV puts it like this, you have lost your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. Is he telling us to do some works? Deary me. Could the Lord be actually telling that I have to do something? Yeah, he is. To do the works you did at first. Do we even have a first love? Yet. Maybe some of you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet. Is Jesus Christ our first love? Have we abandoned our first love? Paul would certainly be around the block a few times, recognized the signs of apathy and the kind of corruption that can produce. Perhaps he discerned the people were getting tired. Maybe they were getting run down. He knew the danger signs of the drudgery of day-to-day living and the danger that has of sapping our zeal. The cares of this world, which actually try to choke out the spiritual life. And once we start on that path, I can talk from my own experience that there's less and less time spent in the Word, less and less time spent praying. And it leads to lackluster lip service, that leads to tradition, that leads to a spiritless life that can lead eventually, well down the road, to an abandonment. And I do not think anybody purposely chooses this path. Please hear me. I think life just gets in the way. And the day-to-day drudgery, illness, kids, family, pressure, pushing in, pushing down, cancer. We're of the age now, David and I, we're talking in this week. His grandmother died, his mother's ill. My father died recently, and I know some of you have gone through the same sort of things. And it really gets to you. It can zap your spiritual strength. So, they may have lost their zeal. Have we lost our zeal? They knew all about Jesus. Maybe we know all about Jesus. They knew their theology. Maybe we know our theology. But it's not just academic knowledge that is required. The question is, did they know him? And the question this morning is, do we know him? Do we know him? And Paul recognizes this. And he addresses their needs directly through his prayers. And he addresses our needs directly this morning through his prayers. And I'm going to pick up this again very quickly at verse 15. There we go. Now we've read all this. Brian preached on some of it. Brian already preached on this, but this is one sentence from 15 to 23. So I'm going to read it through again. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. They had love for the saints, but they seemed to lack a spiritual comprehension. Maybe they knew all about God and Jesus, but they knew him academically. Maybe they knew all their theology. But Paul's prayer strikes right at the heart and the root of the matter. That the Father of glory may give you and me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. In what? In what? In the knowledge of him. Do we know him? It's all about knowing him personally. Spurgeon puts it like this, and he asks this question: have you beheld your suffering Saviour? Have you experienced him upon the cross for your sins? Not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. And when it travels that little way, it changes everything. I mean, it's life changing. And this is why we need that spirit of wisdom and revelation. The British hymn writer, songwriter, Graham Kendrick, puts it like this: all I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Wow. The immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. What causes us to become apathetic? I don't think we just wake up one day and say, I'll be apathetic. But it happens. How does it happen? We lose focus. Like I've said, the cares of this world, the drudgery that day-to-day living, it's overwhelming at times. But Paul, this mighty man of God, prays at the source of man's apathy, that we may know what the hope to which he has called us. This isn't a hope like we buy a lottery ticket and hope we're going to win the jackpot. It isn't this type of hope. That's not what we're hoping for. This is a hope that has been signed and sealed in Jesus Christ's blood. This hope is a secure hope. It communicates the confidence, expectation of experiencing now what God has given us. Not only for tomorrow, not only for the future, but comprehending that hope today. Paul is praying that we experience it now, today, to comprehend the realities that we already have. He said, every spiritual blessing is yours. So why is he praying? So it drops that mile length here. Because he knows once it's dropped from there to here, nothing will stop them. I remember that day when it happened to me. And I knew, I didn't know how, where, when or why, but I knew my life would never, ever be the same. And it hasn't. The hope which he has called us, the hope which, but those who hope in the Lord, says that we will renew our strength, we'll soar on wings like eagles, we will run and not grow weary, we will walk and not grow faint. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Well, let's go back. It's already explained for us. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. There's salvation. When you heard the word of God, you believed and you were sealed. There it is. We wasn't sealed and then we believed. We believed through hearing the word of God and we were sealed. Sealed with what? A stamp? No. God himself. God the Holy Spirit sealed it in his blood. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you belong to him. And no demon in hell, nothing in this world, in this age or the age to come can separate you from the love and that seal that we have in God. Nothing. This is a down payment, pledging the full amount will be paid. It's the same kind as the full payment, but it's not the same amount. But it will be. An inheritance, Peter says, that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. The NIV puts it like this: it can never perish, spoil, or fade. Never. Never. Never means never. And that's all never means. The immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. We have strongmen competitions. The world's strongest man. We want to measure who's the strongest. I remember Jeff Capes, going back to the 80s now, when Britain used to have strongmen. He was the world's strongest man. He did these big boulders, and he did it year after year, I think, till he died of a heart attack. But he was the world's strongest man. There we are. We want to measure everything, don't we? We have rolling roads and dynos that can measure the brake horsepower of your cars. Gary, what's that power of that turbocharged Volvo?
300.
300 brake horsepower. That's double what my Alfa is. But what's the weight of it? No, that's enough. We know even the Newton meters of torque in our car engines. How fast 0 to 60 it will go, 0 to 100 and stop it. Dearie me. We even have instruments that measure the velocity of jet engines. We have Richter scales that measure the power of earthquakes. But we cannot measure the power of God. It's immeasurable. Behold, it says in Isaiah, the nations are a drop in the bucket. Man who split the atom said, you're not dust on the scales when compared to the greatness, the power and might of the living God. Do we comprehend? Can we comprehend? We can start to. He's up there. We're somewhere down here. We can't put him in our laptop and file him under drive C with a capital T for theology. We can't put him in our pocket with our car keys. We want to. I want to. Would it be convenient? But it doesn't work like that. It's the other way around. He's big. The immeasurable, the bottomless, the boundless, the endless, the fathomless, the horizonless, the illimitable, limitless, measurable, unbounded, unfathomable, unlimited greatness of his power towards who? Us who believe. Why do we act like orphans when we have a father? We have a Father who loves us, who desires us, he needs us, and he died for us. And those that don't know him, he died on the cross so you could believe. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. His great might, God's great might, is his power in action. That action resulted from God's mighty power was the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is some power. That he resurrected a dead man. Sound familiar? He resurrected this dead man. And he's still doing it. Every day. The ascension. That's power. Can we comprehend it? Not only that, his dominion. Raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. That is power, that is might. Taking something that was corrupted, something that was dead and decayed, and making it alive again. And you know what? We jump to the next chapter. And I don't want to jump too far, but he said he's raised us in him and seated us in the heavenly places. Mm-hmm. That's already happened. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. Our spirits are seated with him in these heavenly places. Need some more RAM for that. But that's what's happened. Resurrection, ascension, dominion. Far above rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but the age to come. Far above. not just above, far above. Far above what? All rule, all authority, all power, and all dominion. That means all governments of men and this age. But there's a power and dominion that's not just about man. It's a power and dominion that God created. And that's powers and principalities of darkness, of Satan and his demons, the rebellious archangel and the fallen angels who become demons. The Bible tells us he's the father of lies, the prince of this fallen world, the prince of the power of the air, the created, okay, don't forget that word, created, fallen, archangel, which hell was made for, and him and his minions, not only in this age, but the age to come. In Colossians it says, he made a public spectacle of him, triumphing at the cross. A public spectacle in front of all these rulers and authorities and dark powers. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. All things. What does that mean? Well, all means all, and that's all that all means. All things under his feet and gave him head over all. Total dominion of this universe. He is our head and we are his body. His bride, his union. The one that he died for. That's how much he loves us. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is our head and we are his body. David and I were talking at the preacher's meeting this week, remembering way back and many years ago when we got saved, and how his fullness filled our emptiness. Can you remember life without Christ? That emptiness. His fullness fills our emptiness. And he's still doing that every day. His fullness is available for us, for our emptiness. We are his body, and the two are one and are complete, that become the fullness of him who fills all in all. There was a multi-million newspaper publisher, William Randolph Hearst. He spent a fortune on collecting great art treasures. Multi-millionaire. He collected these sculptures, paintings, and all these artifacts from all around the world. One day he found a description of some valuable item that he must own. So he sent his agents abroad to search for them. And after months of searching, one agent reported that he found the treasure he'd been looking for. And it was in his warehouse. He already owned it. He sent him looking throughout the world, and it was in his warehouse. Hello? Oh Lord. Perhaps sometimes we live like spiritual paupers when we're children of God. All the inheritance is ours. He's purchased it for us on the cross through his blood. We have a hope, a sure hope, not a blind hope, that's steadfast and true, the hope of glory. We are on God's own possession. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. We have an inheritance, a down payment given to us already. The Holy Spirit sealed it, an inheritance that can never spoil or fade. We are not orphans. We have a Father. And He's called God. Power. This mighty power is presently available for us. Power for what? Power to overcome temptation. Power to change your life. Before I knew the Lord, my life was made up of alcohol, well, sex and drugs and rock and roll, you could say. But it's not very good. I was in total bondage. And I know what it's like to be in bondage. Waking up every day to put a needle in your arm or to have a drink. My life totally changed. And that's the power of God. And it takes some power. Nothing to God. Power to overcome temptation. Power to overcome sin. Power to overcome the spiritual darkness that tries to choke out the spiritual life. Power to be holy and to be blameless. That's what it said in the early chapters. That's what He saved us for, that we would be holy and blameless through His grace, so no man can boast. I turned more leaves than a winter, than an autumn or a fall, trying to change. I couldn't do it. But when I gave my life to God, when He searched me out, I knew I was a sinner. I was ready to repent. I just need somebody to show me the way. The Spirit that lives in us is greater than the spirit that's in the world. It's greater than the evil around us. We have power for ministry, power to do what God has called us to do. Because the Holy Spirit resides in us. The power for love. God has poured His love into our lives so we can love the unlovable. When I came to the Lord, I was very unlovable. You'd see me on the street, you would cross to the other side. And we could be loved by others through that power. Let us pray. Father God, open the eyes of our heart that we would see You, that we would know You, that we would comprehend You, that we would understand You, and that we would realize who You are and who we are in You. Our hope is in You. Our inheritance is in You. The power that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Seal the zeal in our hearts. Let us choose this day, right now, to live our lives fully yielded, totally trusting and abandoned to You. Let us this day give our heart to You. Let us give our lives to You. Because You are worthy, O God. You are worthy. And we ask this in Jesus' name, for Your kingdom and for Your glory's sake. Amen.